afternoon, ladies and gentlemen. I'm Melody Cederstrom, and you are listening to Financial Survival. I'm here with my co-host today, Pastor Butch Paul, bringing you our opinion and commentary on today's economic and political events. And it is Thursday, August 2nd, 2018. Good afternoon, Butch.
Good afternoon, Melody. How are you doing today besides fabulous?
Oh, well, you took the word right out of my mouth.
I knew I did. I knew.
Yeah, you're always going, fabulous. Just typical. It's just typical. I never get a chance to say what I want to say. Everybody says it for me.
Oh, poor little lady. I feel so sorry for you. Tell you what. I'll bring the cheese. You bring the wine.
Okay.
I said wine, not wine now. Wine.
I heard you. I heard you.
Okay.
Oh, I needed a little bit of levity today, a little bit of laughter as we have gold today. Certainly not laughing. And it kind of makes you want to cry unless you're buying it, and then you're smiling all the way out the door. So you have gold pressure on gold once again today, down $7 at $1,209. Silver's down 5 cents at $1,540. Platinum was up $8, almost 1% at $828. And palladium was down $4 at $919. Of course, the USDX today is stronger by 0.44 at 95.10, and you have crude oil up 140 at 69.06. And the paper markets today all came off the lows of the day, and they're probably, the Dow is almost positive. It was down 7.50 at 25,326. The NASDAQ was up 95.40 at 78.02. S&P is up 13 at 2,827. 10-year yield, not quite 3%, 2.99. And let's see, Euro, of course, is weaker. Most of your European and Asian markets were all down over 1%. Hong Kong was down about 2.25%. And again, no one has any fear. It's all greed at this point in time. Everything is good. Who cares? Who cares if our country is bankrupt? Who cares if we have all these, problems? Things are just getting better, are they not?
Oh, they absolutely are. I promise you. I mean, I will discuss some of this in a bit, how good they're really getting. I mean, people, I'll be so excited. And if you believe that, I'm going to sell you some beachfront property right here in West Virginia.
Okay, I got a bridge, too.
Okay, let's get together and make that and sell that thing, man. But we'll get in a minute, of course, but it's just amazing to me that the real news is out there and no one seems to be looking at it. I don't understand this. This is a time bomb really ticking, but everyone keeps turning away and don't want to hear it. But it is ticking.
It is. And, it is baffling. It is, but it isn't. I understand. And you know what? Yes, things are better in this country. Yes, but as you said, there's a huge problem that's just under the surface, and I get it, but yet, I don't. And it's frustrating, particularly when you see gold at the levels that we see, because gold was always one of the barometers. That there was problems, whether it be geopolitical, whether it was be monetary, that was the barometer. And now it's the barometer is showing maybe the truth really doesn't matter. Maybe bankrupt countries really don't matter.
Well, it's looking that way, but I think people are hoping in hope, Melody. They want to believe. They want to have hope, and I certainly understand that.
I do,
but it doesn't work that way. It's like having cancer. You know you do, but you hope it's going to go away. You're hoping against hope, and I'm not picking on people to do that. I do the same thing. That's how you cope with it sometimes, but it is hoping. It's hoping against facts. And that's just the way it is. We'll share this a little bit.
And you know what's really sad? We've really become so divided as a nation that if you don't fall into those two little groups, you could have a difference of opinion. You could just have a little different view of what's happening. All of a sudden, you're not part of, you're more of the problem.
Oh, yeah.
And it's, I mean, I have people who have, I'm sure you've received them too, have received information or received emails and, you know, had discussions with people that question what we believe just because we question what's coming out of Washington or we're trying to find the truth in Washington, especially when it comes to people's finances, because the people are going to get hurt.
Well, and obviously that's true, and people are getting hurt. It's not, they're not going to. Many are. The reason, and we'll cover this in a minute too, but the people living in vehicles is up a bunch, and it's more than what the article read the other day said it is, a whole lot more. But you see, you and I, by the grace of God, haven't noticed as much because we're still living in our homes. So are a lot of people. So the ones who are living in the vehicles, they're living in homes, don't understand how many people live in the vehicles because they can't afford a home. It's easy sometimes, and we shouldn't do this, but we all do, to kind of shove it aside until our ox gets gored, and then we get upset about it.
True.
You know, it's just human nature. We all do that. But the articles I have today, some of them are really kind of scary in some areas, and I can only have to say this, but a nation that forgets God's turned into hell. You can't expect a sound financial basis without sound morality. It won't work. It can't work. It's impossible to work unless God's a liar, and I don't think he is.
No.
So,
no.
All this ties together. All this ties to spiritual well-being. The individual's life does. A home life does. So a nation can't expect indifference. You know, the reason you and I get along so well is because we have that spiritual morality inside us. We don't need laws to tell Melody not to steal from Pastor Butch or for Butch not to steal from her. We don't need laws. We don't need cops watching us. We're not going to do it because it's not in us to do that. So our spiritual morality keeps us in check. We don't do those things. Unfortunately, many people do. And the more the nation goes down that path of immorality, the less people there are like us that you can trust, so things start falling apart.
You know, I always said we couldn't turn this country around without God.
No, we can't.
And I think this is why I always try to connect the dots and so forth. I really don't see a change. You know, I don't see a nation repenting. I don't see a nation that's on their knees.
No, you don't.
And even just a fraction. I don't see it. And
just
I get
a fraction of the so-called church. If just a fraction of the church would do it and mean it.
And I don't see it. So, and I get moved when I see President Trump giving his big, not his rallies, but his big speeches, and like his inauguration speech, even this, I mean, he gets to the point, it moves me because he does bring in God. But then it just kind of, you know, evaporates after a while. And
It does.
So it's, anyway, it's, but I still
confessing that there's a, I'm going to say, confessing there's a God is no big deal. Satan knows there's a God and trembles. So it's no big deal to say, yep, I believe in God. So does Satan.
Yeah.
So there we go.
Yeah.
Anyway, I'll let you start first today. You go ahead. We got a lot to cover. I'll let you start first.
Oh, no. You start first. I did start first. I opened the program.
Oh, I got you. Well, this article I do want to share because I think it's kind of important. Now, this is something that should be a little bit scary to all of us. $5 trillion doomed U.S. pensions shortfall, now the size of Japan's economy. Now, think about that. Scores of public pensions across the United States are massively underfunded. That shortfall is roughly equal to Japan's GDP, the world's third largest economy, according to the Moody Investors Service. The third largest economy in the world, and the pension funds in this country, state and federal, their shortfall is equal to that third largest country's economy. Now, how serious is that? State and local pension plans in the U.S. now have less than three-quarters of the money they need to meet their promised payouts to their lowest level since 2001, according to public plans database figures weighted by plan size. In dollar terms, the hole for state and local pensions is now $5 trillion. Wow. If governments don't increase taxes, convince pensioners to take less money, like that's going to happen, then they were promised, or divert funds from elsewhere, an increasing number of funds face insolvency, reports the Wall Street Journal. In Kentucky, for example, a major pension for state employees has around 16% of what it needs to fulfill its obligations. Wait, think about that, Melody. They have 16% of what they need to pay the bills. How serious is that?
That's probably more than some.
Chicago.
I mean, that's
Chicago,
how bad it is.
It is bad, seriously bad. Chicago Municipal Employee Fund has less than 30% of what is needed during the same fiscal year, while New Jersey state pension is so underfunded it faced insolvency in 12 years, according to a new charitable trust study. And I think it's being very generous with the estimated time. You can't run another 12 years with 16% of what you think of what you need. You can't do it. So I do believe this nation, including you and I, Milton, are going to be in for a rude awakening one day when things we kind of count on to help pay the bills is no longer there.
The Wall Street Journal said that when you said that about the government's increasing taxes, what I found interesting is it went on to say that the workers, where they would divert funds or persuade workers to relinquish money they are owed.
Yes. That's going to take some persuasion.
Well, this is the Wall Street Journal, ladies and gentlemen. You know, it isn't, some blog from, and I don't look to the Wall Street Journal as a, it's probably, if you want to call it conservative, in the mainstream. So, I mean, these are numbers and these are predictions, and this is what has to be done. They're confirming what we've been saying for how many years? So are you willing to relinquish money that's owed to you? And nobody cares.
Well, you can only pay credit cards with other credit cards for so long, and then the bottom falls out. That's all there is to it. And right now, maybe it's not affecting as many people as we maybe thought it would this time 10 years ago. Maybe not. Because they've been clever enough to keep balancing the sheet somehow by printing more paper or transferring funds here and there. But in my mind, if they're $5 trillion in debt right now, they can't carry it forever, especially when states like Kentucky can only have enough money to meet 16% of its obligations. Melody, that's a shortfall beyond measure. They can't do that. They can't do that more than a couple of years without losing everything. And I don't want people can see that. This is very serious. You and I are somewhat guilty ourselves, but the nation as a whole are guilty of taking all these things for granted. They're always going to be there. We were promised they're always going to be there. Like I was promised from the VA that everything I do with the VA would be free. It's not, but they said it would be. So these are things that we took for granted that are come back to bite us in the butt, if you know what I'm saying about that.
Absolutely. And all these programs, all these tax cuts, $12 billion here. What do you think it's going to cost when you have vets now going into the private, into the public sector now for medical care?
Yeah, that hasn't started yet.
But what's going to happen? I know. I mean, it's you can't get in to see a doctor now. What do you think the rates and costs are going to be? Because now it's a government program. Now there's going to be even more fraud, coming out. So what do you think that's going to put on the books?
And if people think they need proof of that, look at Medicare. Look at fraud in Medicare.
Yes.
Yeah. So, anytime, and unfortunately, everybody's not honest. Some businesses will milk us for everything they can get from us in fraud. They have no conscience about this. So you're right. It's just going to be massive fraud out there. Massive fraud.
And I think the vets going into the public sector, I mean, I certainly hope it would work for them, but this is the other side of the coin. I think it's more of a political ploy than, you know, it's just like minimum wage.
It is.
You know, it's something that the politicians can use to get elected. And I think that they don't care about the vets.
If they were worried about the funding for the vets, why would they keep creating so many wars and creating so many veterans?
Well, not only that, if I was in a position and I was the, you know, an executive, if I had a problem with the Veterans Administration, I would get that fixed.
Yeah.
Because everything has to be filtered through there anyway, so get it fixed. You know, it's too big. They can't, and it's the same as government. It's too big.
They can't bring it back under control. It's impossible. Now, you know, another article here, as far as the economy goes, would you believe that in the last 6 years, the people living in their cars or campers has went up 75% in Los Angeles?
Mm-hmm.
Think about that. 45% in San Diego, Silicon Valley. I forget what that is. The Emerald City, I guess you won't call it that. But anyway, but 75% increase, Melody, in 6 years. I just can't imagine. I can't. But I have people call me who live it. Sometimes I talk to people on my radio broadcast and call me on the office. They're living in the cars. And I can't do a thing really to help them. But I feel for them. Only by the grace of God, it's not you and I. But it's very serious.
You know, last week you brought an article to the program about plastic straws.
Yes.
In San Francisco, where, you know, if you're a waiter or whatever, you can be sent to jail for 6 months to a year. And we talked about how they ignore these tent cities. Because you can't even walk down certain parts of San Francisco because of the stench.
That's right.
Of feces and urine and walking over people. It brings back visions of what, you know, you used to see of New York, you know, in the 70s, 60s and 70s, you know, where I can remember walking down, you know, streets where you just stepped over, you know, unfortunately the homeless, the drunks and, you know, down in the Bowery, it's back to those days. And yet this country, you have a group of people that are wealthier than ever before. That alone shows you there's no trickle down. Or we wouldn't
that's
have.
That's also prophesied in the Bible, the rich get rich and poor get poor. That's prophesied.
Yeah.
It truly is.
So we wouldn't have so many people sleeping in their cars, families with children and babies. We can continue that or talk about something else when we get back from this first break of financial survival. I'll be back, Melody Cederstrom, along with Pastor Butch Paul. Please stay tuned.
Since the beginning of the United States, kings have sought it, nations have fought for it. It has been traded, borrowed, purchased, and stolen. There is a reason for it. To secure the blessings of liberty to ourselves and our posterity, invest with the security of gold and silver. Call Discount Gold and Silver Trading at 1-800-375-4188. That's 1-800-375-4188. Listen to Financial Survival with your host, Melody Cederstrom, on Shortwave Radio. Visit DiscountGoldAndSilverTrading.net or call 1-800-375-4188. That's 1-800-375-4188. For the very best in gold and silver trading, call toll-free 1-800-375-4188. That's 1-800-375-4188. Call now.
Melody Cederstrom, and CSE Talk Radio team up as Common Sense Voices of Integrity. I personally endorse Melody Cederstrom to be your trusted go-to expert for all your precious metal needs. Experts agree a financial crisis and even collapse is inevitable. Given our government's lack of economic leadership and self-interests of those in power, it's no longer a question of if you should purchase gold and silver, but if you will purchase gold and silver before it's too late. Melody encourages you to tune in each weekday morning. Visit csetalkradio.com. We both agree truth and education are the two significant factors in both our missions. There is a wealth of misinformation out there. Let Melody and Beth Ann help you sort through the chaos and bring you home to the truths that will ensure that you and your family are protected. Call Discount Gold and Silver Trading, 1-800-375-4188, or online at dgscoins.com. Melody and Beth Ann are strong forces together, working to preserve liberty and bring America home.
And welcome back, ladies and gentlemen. You're listening to Financial Survival, brought to you by Discount Gold and Silver Trading, 1-800-375-4188. That's 1-800-375-4188. Visit our website at dgscoins.com, dgscoins.com. And, of course, we continue to have the 90% silver. The silver came in. They're 50-cent pieces, and they're really nice, circulated 50-cent pieces. Of course, they're Kennedy halves, and they're Ben Franklin's. There's a few walking libs, but I usually end up pulling out most of the walking libs only because they're so worn, and but so I don't want my customers to receive them in that condition. But the reason I do that is because, you know, 90% silver bags at $1,000 face value, you get all conditions of coinage in there. You can get uncirculated, circulated, and you get some of them that are a little bit worn. But it all comes out to face value. It all comes out to a circulated bag of 715 ounces for a full bag, and it also weighs 55 pounds. So we have three checks to make sure that you're getting the right amount of silver for the right amount of dollars. And never buy your silver by the pound. I can't tell you how many times people have come to me and they said, I bought this great deal. I bought a couple pounds of silver. It's like, ladies and gentlemen, you're getting ripped off when you're buying it by the pound. You know, we use the pound just to ensure our weights, but it's not sold that way. We sell it to you by the face value. You know exactly how much silver and what you're paying per ounce on your 90% silver. But when they sell it to you by the pounds, most people just get taken because most people can't figure it out. And so it's not so much that they can't figure it out, it's that they're not they don't know how it's to figured with the 90% silver. So let us do that for you. Call us 800-375-4188. What's next, Butch?
All right, we're going to discuss this. I will say about this, but
what?
It's article about Illinois. Leaving Illinois, how simple math chased away a village mayor and his family, the mayor of this town. If there was one guy you'd think wouldn't succumb to the pressures living in Illinois, it's Lakewood Mayor Paul Sirica. He's a reformer and a fighter. In the past year, he succeeded where most politicians refused to go. He lowered the village of Lakewood's property taxes by 10%. Eliminated a TIF district, going against the trend of higher spending and bigger tax bills and committees across the communities across the state. And he did all that without cutting services. He was showing Illinoisans what reform-oriented leadership could look like. But every family that's chosen to flee Illinois in recent years hit a breaking point, and Sirica finally hit his. For him, it was the risk of he wouldn't be able to care financially for his growing family. You can't blame him and those families that have already left. For many, it's become too expensive to live in Illinois. For others, good-paying working-class manufacturing jobs have disappeared. And for yet others, they're tired of being taken for granted and mistreated by their politicians. At the core of the decision for the many families to leave is the burden of higher property taxes. And folks, that is one of my pet peeves, property taxes. Mine goes up every year, Melody. Every year goes up.
That's mine, too.
That makes me angry, but anyway.
It does.
They become punitive in too many parts of the state, as War Points has covered in detail. That's true, even in Lakewood, a city of about nearly 5,000 people located in McHenry County. Residents in that county pay some of the state's and the nation's highest effective tax rates, measured as a percentage of household incomes. So Weka has four children to think about, ages 3 to 8, and he did the basic math that many Illinois families are doing in their kitchens or their family rooms. They're comparing what their property taxes are in Illinois to what they could be in other states and what they could do with all the money they save. So the mayor of the city packed up and went to Alabama. Now, that is amazing. Good for him. You're right. But, Melody, this state's going to lose more and more, like New Jersey is. They're raising taxes to try to balance their budget, and people can't afford it, so they're leaving. So that means there's another hole in the economy. How long can they raise taxes on the ones that are left?
Well, not only that, you have people that will move to a state that's a little more property tax friendly, like Alabama, and you get so many more people going in there, and then it's just a matter of time until their property taxes in Alabama begin to rise. Of course, Alabama, there's a couple states that don't have property tax, I think, and I don't know if Alabama's one or not, but if they do, more and more people come to the state, the more and more services that they need to provide, schools and so forth, and so it would be just a matter of time until those property taxes rise too.
On it goes. I know my property tax went up again this year, and I'm really ticked off.
Oh, yeah. You know what? I have problems with property taxes is because you never own your home. You're always a slave to the government, and they use your property tax just as a bank. And,
sure.
The teachers want a little loan, and they always say, well, the kids don't have enough paper or crayons or books or something. And it's like, we need to raise your property taxes, and then it goes to something totally different.
They take my money, they'll support something I don't believe in. That's a public school system. I don't want to support it. I wouldn't put a child in public school for anything. And they take my money for that reason. That's the worst kind of tyranny. Thomas Jefferson said that. That's the worst kind of tyranny.
So, yes, property taxes. And I think, property taxes, if they want to do property, I think once you get to a certain age, people want to die in their homes.
Yes.
They don't want to go to nursing homes, but look at the money that's made in the nursing homes. And I believe government is going to stop funding some of these nursing homes. So it's just all a racket.
Well, it is. And in some states, including West Virginia, there was a time when you reached a certain age, I believe 65, your property taxes went away. Guess what? That ended.
Yeah.
That ended.
It's the way it should be.
Yeah, what should be. It was a time they actually figured you paid enough.
Well,
it's ended
it shouldn't
here.
Be at all. Property taxes shouldn't be at all. But, with that said,
Illinois is going broke. But guess what a judge ordered Wisconsin to do for their people there that are on Medicaid?
What's that?
He ordered Medicaid in Wisconsin to pay for gender reassignment surgeries. I'm serious. A federal judge has ordered Wisconsin pay for the gender reassignment surgery of two transgender Medicaid recipients. Cody Flack, 30, and Sarah Ann McKenzie, 41, filed a lawsuit in April, saying that a state rule denying coverage for surgeries to treat gender dysphoria violates the Affordable Care Act and their right to equal protection, the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel reported. The state rule that excludes coverage for undefined transsexual surgery was adopted in 1996. The judge overruled the state, and there are 5,000 enrollees on Medicaid in Wisconsin that identify as transgender. The state, and it's already $9.7 billion to cover the million eligible residents. It's going to add to it when the 5,000 want to change their sexes.
The military pays for it.
They do. But this is insane. Now how long will the people step back and take this?
They're going to take it until their bellies are hungry.
Well, I would think a few of them are starting to feel that way right now. I mean, come on. What happened to any morality in this country, Melody? I don't mean to keep beating this horse, but it is what it is. Why is it that only a few people get angry over this type of filth? Why is it that the churches are so silent on this? Where are the pastors and preachers in this country that once stood up and preached hellfire and brimstone and warned the people about this, and the nation was solid in the fact of morality because the church wouldn't tolerate this? What happened to that group of people? Where are they?
Well, you know what? There was a comment before it's news. I read some of it. Some of it, you know. But they do have a couple of articles here about Mel Gibson. And you knew Mel Gibson's father, didn't you?
Yes.
Yes. And but he has made a comment that, you know, talking about Hollywood. You know, it's just a den of parasites who feast on the blood of kids.
That's right.
You know, he's talking about the movies, the games, the music lyrics. He says all of this is just a mission to brainwash the younger generation.
And they've done it,
and they're continuing to do it. And you know, so again, it's you know, it's not going to turn around until, you know, they're made to turn around, I guess.
Well, the entertainment industry, of course, we know who Madonna is, and Madonna literally, and I'm making it up, go check it out, is a high priestess in Satan's kingdom. And you can look it up for yourself. You'll show her doing the, going through the routine. And Tyler Perry, I believe her name was, literally said she sold her soul to the devil. She's the daughter of a preacher. There's nothing that people should just turn away from because the young people watch us. And so is Taylor Swift, by the way, very much involved in themselves, folks. Don't take my word for it. Type it in your search engine and find out for yourself. But how long before the people, we see young people flocking to these concerts by the hundreds of thousands, and the parents say nothing and do nothing? What happened to parents with backbone and morality?
The parents go with them.
That's a sad part, but it's true. And I've seen some parents, female side especially, dress worse than their daughters who are dressed like whores already.
Mm-hmm.
But anyway.
But you also have to go back. But you have to go back, and you know, I'll have to see what the agenda is. And yes, and I am going to bring it back to, you know, the finances, and you know, you know, they have turned us into slaves. They have turned us into to where we don't have a voice anymore. And the voices that we're beginning to hear, they're all violent, and maybe that is part of it, Butch.
Well, it is. They have to divide and cause unrest and chaos. You know that. You've heard of, I'm sure you've heard of Edward Bernays. You've heard of him?
Edward Bernays.
He died back in the 90s. Anyway, a lot about him. He's the man that invented the term consumerism and started turning towards that back in the 20s and 30s, getting people to buy things they don't need. Even, you know, it used to be up until that time, people only bought what they needed when they needed it and paid for it. But mm-hmm. He started a consumerism movement. They said that would increase the economy, and it did. It did. But put people in debt. So this is all part of it. This was a planned scenario to get people into wanting things and not really needing things. And they're only happy when they got new stuff.
Yeah, it's all propaganda.
Consumerism.
Consumerism, propaganda. You know, they've conditioned, they manipulate, you know, and it's all about controlling the population in order to making you do what they want you to do. They herd you all in together. I read where there was, I don't know where it was at in California, where they now have housing. I think it's HUD housing. They're not allowed to smoke in their apartments anymore, their houses.
Right.
They have to stand so far apart and so forth. And, we all know smoking is bad for you, you know, but most of us probably that have quit probably smoked at one time or another in our youth, but we've quit, and now we understand the dangers and so forth and whatnot. But when you really look at what they did and you know, you see how they controlled the masses to quit smoking, and it really, to me, it was a great experiment. How they were able to...
It was, and by the way, Bernays, the one that got the women smoking back in the 20s, literally. He's the one that started the women's liberation movement and said free, and women are free, when we're free, they can smoke. And I'm telling you the truth, he's the one that got them smoking.
Yeah, so you can see
it's
how
amazing.
You can see that how they were able to truly probably one of the earliest signs of, well, I don't know because I'm not an expert in that, but from when I've been around, look at the mass number of peoples that were able to move, to quit smoking, the signs.
Yes.
You couldn't smoke
yes.
here, and I mean you couldn't, you know, people were almost paranoid about taking in, you know, second hand smoke. And yeah, I'm saying it's
well,
not healthy.
Imagine
but
the power.
Neither are the french fries that you buy at McDonald's, and neither are the hamburgers that you buy at
yeah.
McDonald's, but they don't make
that's
you
right.
So I don't know.
Not yet, anyway. But they will the straw. But you know, but they manipulated people into smoking. Then they convinced them to quit smoking. That's a power of the press.
Yes.
That's where we are. And we'll move on. I ran out of time so quickly because this program is so important. And I know you know already that America, this article has said, like it or not, America is now seriously debating socialism. I submit to the people out there that we're not debating socialism. We are socialist. We're not debating it. We're debating about getting deeper into it with Bernie Sanders' idea of Medicare for everybody, the cost about $36 trillion in the next 10 years. We're not socialist. Talk about being socialist, people. We're already socialist. We are socialist. It's just getting worse all the time. The people in this country don't pay attention to what's happening to Venezuela and other nations around the world. Russia failed one time with one for the U.S. supporting them. They would have ceased being a power in the world. So socialism is being discussed, but socialism is already here. It's already part of our society, and we're all involved in it, every one of us.
Absolutely.
Any comments on that, Melody?
No, and it's true, and it's interesting. I was reading an article today about how all of a sudden now you're going to hear about Barack Obama coming back into politics, and he's out there. I don't know how many candidates that he's endorsing for the these midterm elections coming up here in November. And I did think it was a little interesting, not real interesting, but somewhat interesting, that he did not back the Democratic Socialist Alexandria Cortez. So. Not that I think this is all, you know, news breaking, but what it is what you're right, Pastor Butch, you know, how socialism, and I think the reason he's not backing her is because she comes out and claims she's a socialist, and I don't think
yeah.
they want, you know, they don't want that word used, you know, they'd rather do it more quietly.
True colors, perhaps. Yes, and moving on, different topic, but along the same lines. I've said many times this nation's headed for a civil war, and I'm convinced it is. I know it is.
It is.
But it's ceasing to be a war of ideas or ideals. It's now going into a firefight, if you will. The Antifa are going to protest against the prayer warriors, or what they call the Patriot Prayer Meeting, in Portland, Oregon, and they told their members to bring their guns. Now let that sink in a minute. Last time they threw percussion grenades into the prayer, Patriot Prayer Warriors. Now they said, "Bring your guns. Do whatever it takes." He said to break this up. Whatever it takes.
And we're heading into a break, and that's what that's going to take. And we'll be right back right after these few short messages.
Food prices have increased over 40%. Energy prices have increased over 20%. Wheat and gas prices have increased over 70%. What's going to be next? Do you see these trends reversing or even stabilizing? All fiat currencies have always failed and collapsed their economies on their way down. The Roman Empire, China, France, Argentina, Finland, Mexico, Russia, Zimbabwe all tried fiat currency and all collapsed into chaos. Meanwhile, the dollar has lost over 97% of its gold value. value since 1971, when an ounce of gold was valued at $35. If your assets are in paper, you are in danger. Protect your assets with gold and silver. Visit Discount Gold and Silver Trading at DGScoins.com. That's DGScoins.com or call 1-800-375-4188. That's 800-375-4188. Protect yourself and your family.
We all know that Berkey Water Purification Systems are the most trusted name in water filtration. As an authorized Berkey dealer for over 6 years and serving thousands of satisfied customers, the Berkey Guy offers amazing specials for Berkey Water Filtration Systems. The Berkey Light Systems include a set of self-sterilizing and recleanable black purification elements that purify water by removing chlorine, pathogenic bacteria, cysts, and parasites to non-detectable levels and remove harmful chemicals such as herbicides and pesticides. Order the Berkey Light System today, complete with two black Berkey elements for only $231, and the Berkey Guy will ship your order free of charge. With the purchase of a Berkey Light, the Berkey Guy is also offering a set of fluoride and arsenic filters for only $39.99. That's over 30% off the retail price. Call the Berkey Guy at 1-877-886-3653. That's 1-877-886-3653. Or order online at GoBerkey.com. That's GoBerkey.com today.
And welcome back to Financial Survival. I'm Melody Cedarstrom, and I'm here with Pastor Butch, and we're heading into the last segment of the program today, 1-800-375-4188 for your 90% 50-cent pieces, a great, great buy. Did you want to finish up on that last
No, I was pretty much finished. I'm just saying it's going to lead to bloodshed. It truly, 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 truly is. That's the plan of their enemy to do that, to cause division and bring this force so they can bring in control, if you will. But according to Dimitri Dubin's prophecies, and I've seen some of them already starting to come to pass, when you go into civil war, we're going to be attacking the South with Mexico and other nations joining in. We'll see what happens. I don't know. But it is heading to bloodshed. There's no way to stop it now. It's too late for that. It will not stop. It will not stop. But in a different topic, I guess you saw that Trump, Trump excluded Canada from the NAFTA talks with Mexico, and their loony tumbles quite a bit because of that. I guess you saw that.
Yes, I did.
Now, I don't know what that's going to mean, but, you know, Trump's talking about increasing tariffs from China up to 25% from 10%. How far can that go before everything just falls flat apart and people just get angry enough not to, you know, I don't know.
I don't know.
It's just amazing.
It's conditioning. It's conditioning. We're conditioned to become complacent to threats, so to speak. You know, there's warnings and threats about tariffs on this, on you know, $50 billion, $200 billion, $100 billion, and, you know, it goes back and forth, and you know, the markets are just not paying any attention to it because...
They're not.
The reality is nothing ever gets done. I mean, it's, you know, I don't know whose term the nothing burger, but that's basically what it is. Eventually, one of these days, though, you're going to get a full house burger with everything on it. And China has come out and said that they are fully prepared and they will retaliate to defend the nation's dignity and the interest of the people. And this was from the Chinese Ministry of Commerce. And these threats came after after the administration, President Trump had instructed that the U.S. Trade Representative to consider raising proposed tariffs on $200 billion in Chinese goods. So, and that's what we did see. We saw the markets fall sharply on the news. That's why we saw the Asian equities decline broadly across the board. But yet, you know, then things got a little soft, markets came back, and it was ignored because these are just tit-for-tat threats back and forth until one eventually does something. So when it comes to Canada, I mean, our lumber comes from Canada. We're beginning to see the lumber prices rise, affecting home prices. And, you know, I would think that he would... I think what he's trying to do is really to break up these group agreements and then make some sort of a trade agreement independently of each country.
That could be that.
I mean, it's kind of like what China has done. You know, that's what China does. They go out and, sure, they have their little BRICS, you know, group and so forth, but that didn't work out well. But, you know, they do things independently with other nations. So I think that's what he's trying to do. And so if you don't bring Canada in there, I don't know what the legalities are in order to, you know, totally, you know, defuse the NAFTA, quote-unquote NAFTA. But, you know, perhaps that was something that needed to be done in order to move forward. You know, maybe he had to do this in order to move forward. But what's Canada going to do?
That's a good question. And we'll move on a different topic I'll not cover in the last few minutes, too. I guess you understand, too, that according to news reports, North Korea is building missiles again. Now, whether it's not, it is or not, I have no idea. But U.S. spy agencies across the country are saying North Korea is building missiles. We will see. They said they're working right now on possibly two liquid-filled ICBMs at a large research facility in Sanyumdong on the outskirts of Pyongyang. So, I don't know. And that could lead to something else. I have no idea how far that... I mean, all of a sudden, that talk between Trump and I forgot his name. Just died away. No one's talking about it anymore. That's not on news any longer. What happened?
Yesterday... Oh, maybe it was earlier this week, we had the remains of 55 Korean War U.S. soldiers return. I do believe Fox News was the only station that covered it. I don't know if they were the only ones invited or not. So you had Vice President Pence, he spoke, gave a little speech and so forth. And but they claimed that there's 7,000 remains that are still there. And I don't know. It was interesting. I heard that what they wanted to do was to have some sort of a group that would go there and basically survey the land or something to see if they could find the remains. And I'm thinking to myself, well, North Korea's not going to allow you to do that. I mean, that's we'll see. We did get 55 back, so I don't know.
I don't remember how many were killed in Korea. I don't remember. I don't know. That was even before my time, but I don't remember that one.
Well, they said that there was like 7,000 remains there.
Still left. Okay.
Yes.
Another topic, too. Looks like the U.S. is finally negotiating a retreat from Afghanistan, our longest-running war in history. Looks like we may finally be pulling out. You remember Russia went in there, back in the 70s, I believe it was, and got their butt kicked and went home and tail between the legs. We were talking about how bad the Russians were for invading Afghanistan. You remember that?
Mm-hmm. Sure do.
Okay. And we did the same thing. Now we're coming back with tail between the legs. It's been a war we've been fighting now for, 15 years? I don't know, something along the lines. And we haven't done so well. Either that or we got enough heroin over here to do us for a while. I don't know. But they're negotiating the treaty to get out of Afghanistan. So that should tell us something that perhaps we didn't do so well, Melody. I mean, we did the same. We backed out of Vietnam. Of course, never was meant to win anyway. We had a stalemate in Korea. So what do you think? I mean, this is sad. And now it looks like... Go ahead.
Well, it just depends on what are they going to do with the troops that are there. Where are they going to put them? I think they need them over in Africa because of the things that are going on over there. And I did see some article today I was reading about how we were not supposed to get any more further involved in Yemen, in that part of the world. But we're never told the real reasons why we'd be making agreements with Afghanistan. And,
no,
you know, we got their poppy fields up and running good, so maybe we're not needed anymore. But so the key thing is, where would those troops, you know, be taken? I don't think they're going to be coming home to the United States.
We have to have another war.
We don't have the money. How can we continue to keep the troops there? There is no money. I mean, yesterday, Butch, we talked about how the debt levels are piling up. We talked about it today. It's pushing the borrowing cost higher. We talked about that it's going to be that the Treasury Department is going to be increasing the size of the auctions to help pay for these deficits, these budget deficits. And, you know, everyone is saying that the administration said that all this economic growth would make up for shortfalls from tax cuts and spending increases. And, you know, it's not happening. So and there was a quote from J.P. Morgan's Jamie Dimon, and he's usually a big supporter of President Trump, saying, oh, he's doing a great job with the taxes and so forth. He said that the market is dealing with something it's never seen before. That should scare anyone to death in order to and pull out their money.
I would think so. You know, and we're seeing the markets again. Nothing's phasing it. Israel's threatened a military response if the Houthis block the Red Sea Strait. They're threatening a war over there in the Middle East. There was a time that without it was threatened from Israel, it would affect the markets. But again, no news on that at all. None at all. And I'm just beginning to wonder, is the market all of a sudden become invincible? Or are they just ignoring it after elections? Now, I'm serious about that. Could they be ignoring it? You know, November's elections, that's not that far away. Could they be trying just to keep everybody kind of snowed in or snowed over or whatever until after election? Is that possible? Of course it's possible. Make everything look rosy just after election, then let the thing fall apart. I don't know. I just don't know. But a lot of things happening just don't make a whole lot of sense.
Well, if we're told long enough that the economy is great, people will believe the economy is great. If we're told, you know, the stock markets are going to higher, are going to go higher, people are going to believe the stock markets are going higher. All common sense is ignored. Any other side of the reporting is ignored. Just like I read about where, you know, the government is looking to create new retirement accounts. We've talked about the legislation that was already written after 2008, 9, and 10 to where people would never have to worry about outliving their money. What's the first? What do you see on television and all these commercials on financial news programs concerned about outliving your money? It's setting the people up. It's just as clear as my nose on my face. And it's just like people just ignore this because, I don't know because, but it's there. Legislation written. Now they're talking about it. Have an annuity program. You know, it's another word for UBI, the Universal Basic Income. That's going to be used for the poor people. But people who have retirement accounts, and some money, they're going to get an annuity. It's the same thing. You're getting a check from government. I guess it's no different than Social Security, except they're going to use your money this time. And
They use their money anyway, yeah. It's just unbelievable. But, you know, and what we're talking about the nation
They take a percentage of your money. Now they're going to take all of it.
you can trust them, can't you? I mean, gee, look what they've done with Social Security already. But, you know, we're talking about the nation becoming socialist, which it already is. Well, Venezuela's leader, Maduro, admits the socialist model has failed in Venezuela, and that's what he said. He said, we need to produce with or without outside aggression, with or without blockade. We need to make Venezuela an economic power. He said the inflation rates are over 1,000,000%. 80% of the capital city, Caracas, was out of power. They can't afford it. Even though the state owns oil companies, the power companies run on oil, and they still can't keep the lights on in the capital city. He said socialism failed in Venezuela. But does the news talk about that, Melody? Do you ever see it on ABC, CBS, University, where the leader said it didn't work here? Do you ever see that anywhere?
Not at all.
No, you don't. You don't see that because that would rock the people's boat a little bit. They would maybe start thinking about maybe this doesn't work so well. But I don't know. We're just fanatical. You know, you and I are just those people that actually believe that free enterprise is the way to go. We're just old-fashioned. You know what I mean?
I guess so. No, we're not old-fashioned.
Well, whatever they want to call us. I mean, we're old fogies, perhaps. I don't know. But anyway, we no longer fit in society the way that we used to, because we used to think if people didn't work, they shouldn't eat, as the Bible instructs us. But we no longer believe that. Obviously, we don't as a people, as a nation, because how many millions are sucking off you and I right now? We're just as capable of working and more capable than we are and living off us.
And I just saw how Turkey, the U.S., is going to add more sanctions onto Turkey. So that's going
to
be another hot spot.
And join BRICS, by the way.
Yeah.
Turkey's getting ready to join BRICS. Their lira is dropping. They're getting ready to join the BRICS nations. They're going to leave the country. It's no wonder Russia and China are helping them support themselves now. Why do they need us for?
And Turkey was a very important ally.
And now they're buying missiles from Russia. The U.S. blocked the sale of F-35s to Turkey as a retaliatory measure for buying oil from Iran. So, yeah, they're going to the other side. Yeah. There you go. The layer is dropping because of that, so we're going to the other side.
But these sanctions are, I guess, for that pastor that we are trying to get back. But who knows if they're going to release that pastor or not. We know Trump has a hotel in Turkey, so it'll be interesting.
You know, we're talking about civil war. Go ahead. I'm sorry. We discussed in Civil War, another article here says the origins of our second Civil War. Globalism, the tech boom, illegal immigration, campus radicalism, the new radicalism, are they leading us into another 1861? How, when, and why has the United States now arrived at the brink of a veritable Civil War? Almost every cultural and social institution, universities, public schools, the NFL, the Oscars, the Tonys, the Grammys, late-night television, public restaurants, coffee shops, movies, TV, stand-up comedy, has not just been politicized, but weaponized. Isn't that very well put?
Very well.
That's what it's coming down to. We are going into another war. I don't like it. I don't want it. God forbid. But a people that's divided among themselves, that we fight over, squabble over everything, and that's part of the plan for getting to squabble among ourselves. I get so frustrated. People that are different denominations of church members, and we're murdering 4,000 babies a day, sodomizing their sons, perverting their daughters, and they're mad because somebody ate a piece of bacon. Get over it. Can we at least agree on morality? Can we agree that murder is wrong? Sexual perversion is wrong? Do we have to fight over a piece of bacon? You follow what I'm saying?
Are you asking me or the listeners?
Yeah, I'm asking everybody. I mean, why would you fight over when they're murdering 4,000 babies a day? Let's take care of the babies first, then come back and discuss other things of less importance. I don't understand why we let them do this to us. But we have.
We have. And we're going to pick this up on another day. Maybe you and I will continue that discussion come Tuesday, because we are out of time today, Thursday. And I want to thank you. It was a great program today, Butch. And
thank you. I enjoyed it.
I want to thank the listeners for joining us. And we'll be back tomorrow. I'll be back with Dave Allen. So until then, be safe, good night, and God bless.
In my dreams, I have a plan. If I got me.